channelradio.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to me, Angela Bryce-Stevenson, and of course, Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today, Angela?
I'm good, thank you. Very, very good. Had a great meeting. Channel Radio had a little presenters meeting at the weekend.
I know.
We had a marvellous time. It was great, actually. I'm just moving. Can you hear my microphone? Just
moving. Is that you creaking?
No, that gets my bones. I'm getting old. My bones are going. And it was great, actually, to hear, not so much hear the plans, yes, that's fantastic, but also just meeting the other presenters of all the other fantastic shows. Do you know we have nearly 40 shows on Channel Radio?
It's incredible, isn't it? It's really blossoming.
It's just brilliant news, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And we only have an hour to get in just all the information we want to cover, so we apologise that we can't tell you all the other shows. So just go on to channelradio.co.uk, have a look at the schedule, and tune in.
And we're all having your photographs taken, so
yes.
You'll see.
I'm going to get
earlier.
You for that, Jan. I've just seen that on Twitter. I'm going to ban everyone now from looking at Twitter.
It's lovely, Mike, kneeling at your feet. It had to be captured.
No, it's not allowed. Not allowed. No, I'm going to get you back somehow, Jan. How was your week, Jan? And Greenleaf Ergonomics been up to some good stuff?
Yes, busy week. Lots of catching up following the Safety and Health Expo. So
yes,
talking to suppliers and clients about things that I saw. So that was really good. Skype assessments.
Ooh.
Face-to-face assessments.
Skype assessment. What do you mean by a Skype assessment?
So
via
Skype.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, no, not an assessment off Skype.
That's good.
They'll be down on me. They'll be Big Brother watching. What are you talking about? No. Carrying out assessments via Skype. Can't do everything, but there's an awful lot you can do. So that's really helpful. If I've got, a client up in Scotland and we want to do something quickly but can't get me up there in time, then we can do that.
Well, that's good technology.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a good starter. We can do the prelim. It's like triage assessment.
Well, hey.
So that's good. And report writing. But I'm sorry, for me, it's been Wimbledon. And the World Cup.
You sporty person, you.
I'm going to tweet a picture in a moment of me supporting my second team, who unfortunately also got knocked out.
Oh, dear.
So I'm running through my priority teams, and they're all one by one falling out.
Oh!
We have a phone call coming in.
We have a phone call. Let's just make sure that we are making sure that it might be someone wanting pizza.
Oh, yes, I will check that.
So Jan's going to check that out. While I just update you on a few things, you may have noticed on Twitter that I have posted out. We're interested, as you know, health and well-being is our passion, and Who Cares Wins is all about health and well-being. So one of the things that we've posted out and we'd like your feedback on is, what's your definition of health? And it could be absolutely anything, from sleeping better, it could be having a sense of humour in your daily activities, all sorts of things. And so we're interested to hear your thoughts and your definitions on health. So do email us, that's whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk, or tweet us and we'll pick up all the tweets and we'll share those over the next few weeks of what people have given us. Or, of course, you have our Facebook page, so it's Who Cares Wins Radio Show on Facebook. And get hold of us through there. And we also will share them on our new website. If you haven't been there, you'll see we've got a website, which is www.whocareswinsradio.co.uk. And we'll be updating it. Still in development, and we'll be updating that as we go forward. I'm just checking. I'm looking across at my wonderful presenter, Jan, because I think we have our great guest on air. Who's joining us today is Martin Fever. Some of you may remember, if you've been in with us from the start, he joined us and us last year, and we thought it was great to actually catch up with him and find out what he's been up to. So I am actually going to get him on the phone now because we do have a couple of tunes, but we're going to play those in a minute. I think let's talk to Martin as he's rung in, nice and sharp, nice and prompt. So I'm going to twiddle with me buttons now. I press that button there, then you can that there, then I do that, then I do that, press that button there, and all the technology works, which means Jan can still hear me, and also I should now have Martin Fever.
Hello?
Hello! Can you
hear
me?
Hello, afternoon ladies,
hey.
How are you?
Oh, all the better for talking to you, Martin.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind.
And so you're live on air now. You're live on Who Cares Wins radio show on channelradio.co.uk. And I hear that you are a mobile, but you are stopped and in a safe place.
I'm in my consulting rooms up in London, so
fantastic.
Absolutely safe place.
Good. I understand they're in a very salubrious place, are they not, Martin?
Well, literally, I'm next door to the BBC, to the broadcasting house, so if we can't have a signal here, then we'll never have a signal.
Yes, we would be a bit worried then, wouldn't we? Yes. Yeah. So you're going to just drop a few, Channel Radio and Who Cares When, just drop a few notes in just to highlight you're on this most famous show of all shows.
Of course. Well, it's quite interesting. When I leave here some evenings, they're actually recording the one show, and they do some outside broadcasty bits, and you have to walk. They have a downstairs studio, and you have to walk past it. So I've probably been on telly without realising it.
Oh, well, you'll have to next time have the placard, "Hello, Mum."
Oh, no.
Oh, thank you for joining us, Martin. We appreciate taking the time out of your very busy, hectic schedule. I've been following you on Facebook since we met last year and following all your activities, one of which I noticed you did a great vision board workshop last year, did you not?
Well, at the beginning of this year, actually.
What was this year?
I ran a workshop here in London, actually, with people. They came from all over the place, though, from Kent and from Bedfordshire and a few other counties, as
Brilliant.
Well as London. And it was a fantastic event. It's 6 months ago now, and every month, or every couple of months, I contact the people that are on the vision board to see what happens. So I think maybe I should explain to the listeners what a vision board is first.
Yes, please, because I know what you're talking about, but other people may not.
Included.
Well, a vision board is literally where you sit down. I do it with a group of people that are interested in the same sort of stuff as myself. Mm. And you choose some phrases, some words, some pictures, some images, cartoons, anything you like. And some of them you know why you're choosing. For example, maybe a quote that really appeals to you.
Yes.
And you put them on a board, and then you literally put that board somewhere prominently in your house. And it's to represent, really, the sorts of things that you would like to happen throughout the year. Now, it sounds terribly planned. Some of it isn't. Indeed, most of it isn't. It's literally following your gut and your intuition.
Yes.
And going along and seeing, you know, I quite like that picture, but I don't know why. And then as the year goes on, I check in with these people and say, well, what's happened? And some of them go, well, I've noticed that, for example, I'm about to go on a trip to New Zealand, and then they said, and I noticed on my vision board that actually I've got a trip to New Zealand, or I've got New Zealand on there, or I've got a map of New Zealand, and I didn't know why. So it's quite a unique way of, if you like, sorting things out. It's almost, whether it's a case of you intuitively knew, or whether it's a case of being subconsciously reminded each time you see the board, I'm not certain. But really, does it matter? Because at the end of the year, the people that are on the vision board get together, and we just take our vision boards along, and we go, okay, and these vision boards aren't huge. They're, you know, what I'd say, a reasonable size board you have in a kitchen or somewhere like that for, you know, recipes or things like this.
Yeah, I've encouraged people to use, it can be just a pin board, like a cork pin board, or maybe just an A3 piece of card, or even a size of a flip chart.
Exactly, something like that, and then they bring them along, and we actually then we just sit down and chat about our year without really looking at the vision board. And then we compare with what's happened in our year. And of course, one of the issues that happens is many people forget. For example, when you're in June, it's difficult to remember last week, let alone 3 months ago.
Oh, yes.
By checking in with people regularly and going, okay, what's going on in your life at the moment? They actually do see, if you like, a change, or they remember things, and it's quite amazing. And what we then do is all the stuff that's on the vision board gets put away into an envelope, and then as the next year goes on, you can sometimes get that stuff out as well and go, oh, okay, this has happened, this is on my vision board last year, now it's come to fruition. So it's a very ongoing process, if you like. And
it's very organic.
That's a good word. I like that word, organic.
Yes, I like organic.
Yeah, organic is, that's a great way to describe it. And I have a couple of friends that I visit fairly regularly, and they came on the vision board. And what they do is they move their vision board round. I always suggest they do this, but they actually move the vision board round. And so when you go in, it sort of strikes you each time in a different place. And
not physically.
No, not physically.
But do you move what's on the board round as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, you don't. Actually, I'm very keen with people not adding or taking away what's on their boards during the year, because the year isn't up, if you like.
Right.
And also there's a theme. Sometimes people, for example, are looking for a new career, so their vision board might be all about career. Or it may be about moving house, because that's something they want to do. But often people come up with their own visions, if you like, that are totally left field. What I do tell clients to avoid is making their vision board something that is actually all about materialistic gain. So, for example, if you've got pictures of cars and houses and speedboats and things like this, I think you've jumped into very much a wish list.
Yeah, you know? Winning the lottery or something, yes.
Yeah, which is not really quite the same thing, if that makes sense. It's about tapping into that inner part of you that we sometimes ignore or forget we've got.
But in terms of attaching something to the vision board, is it random on that piece of space, or is it you start in the top left-hand corner and you move across in a straight line?
I've done it in a number of ways. One of the ways I've done is use a feng shui approach, which is actually that, you know, I give the clients a template and say, you know, this is the corner for wealth and this is the corner for family or whatever. I've done that with them, given them the options. What I suggest is that often, if they want to, they put a picture of themselves right in the middle
with a
word underneath that maybe describes where they want to be. For example, I've got my own picture on my own vision board, and I've got the word beside that, which is compassionate.
Right.
And that seems to have been a word that I just thought, you know, that's the word that came to me today, that's the word that's going on there. So it's very much as you, I love that expression, organic. Maybe I'll nick that for my mark. It's an organic
You may.
Word.
I'll charge you later.
That's fabulous.
Interestingly, you say about the vision boards, as you and I know, and maybe the listeners don't, but we do very, very similar things, you, Martin, and myself, and vision boards is something I do in my coaching field too. And one of the things I encourage people to think about the vision board is that they either place themselves in the middle or at the top, and then looking at, I prefer the middle, because then you're looking at then everything around you is, you know, what do you see your life unfolding around you? Yes, what's nearer you is what's most important, and that if everything else starts to fall away, these are the things that you will, if you like, not give up on, which can sometimes be family, it can be. But often they're not the materialistic things that often people think would be. So the cars or the houses or the mansions that they might be aiming for are on the edge of their vision board. But interesting, I have a little story to share with you very quickly about a vision board, is when I used to work in the corporate life, I did have a bit of a material goal. I wanted a certain particular motorbike. Those of you that know that I'm into my motorbikes. And so I did actually have it on my vision board, but I also brought the picture to work and I stuck it on the pin board that was in between me and the partition of the colleague next to me. And a lot of people used to say to me, oh, is that your bike? And I'd say, no, but it will be one day. But it also gave me that motivation of, you know, when you're having a bit of a, oh, how am I doing here?
That's what you're aiming for.
This was sort of gave me the focus of what I was working towards. It was actually, yes, do you know what, as much as I like to have, you know, nice things, it's not the be all and end all, but actually if this can contribute to me to get that, then even better. And so yes, and of course now I'm the very proud owner of a real one rather than one on a bit of paper.
I think it's another thing that happens here as well, is that sometimes by attaching particular energy to a picture as well, I think there's a sort of part of you that goes, actually, how much do I want that as well?
Yeah.
So it's often a case of, it's not the picture itself sometimes, it's what it represents as well.
Yeah.
So, for example, when you talk about a motorbike, it could be that it's the freedom from the corporate world. This is why I think you can put any interpretation, of course,
you
can't be wrong or right. And I think, for a long time, I had a red Bentley on mine, or for 1 year, I had a red Bentley.
Red one?
Yeah, and it had to be red, and it was very important it was a red Bentley. And it was actually not to do with the Bentley. It was to do that I wanted to be living a life which was comfortable and yet going places.
Yes, and which is what you saw that car representing.
Yeah, and I felt that. And in actual fact, I'm in the process at the moment. I've got a little sports car, and I'm in the process of going, I actually want a car that is very much more economical. I want to, and it's so the sometimes, you know, we just get carried away with the vision, if you like, of something. Yeah. And yet when we, of course, there's the other bit where we can interpret everything and make everything fit.
Indeed.
That's not what I'm on about at all.
We can. It's a bit like reading my horoscope from yesterday. I can always make it fit.
Totally there.
Listen, what we're going to do, as always on our tune, is on our tune, or even on our show, is I've got a bit of music that, there's two songs actually that I'm going to play back to back, just while you and I have a quick chat, Martin, because we didn't have that at the beginning of the show. And no. You've chosen Feeling Good by Michael Bublé, which I approve. You're allowed to have that. Michael Bublé, a very good fan of mine. But also, I've picked one because I'm sending this out to you, Martin, and interestingly, with the Bentley in mind, it's a particular track by ZZ Top, and it was something I listened to at the weekend, and I just thought, yeah, I've got to play that. And it's called A Sharp Dressed Man.
Oh, thank you.
And I thought, well, who better than to talk to Martin Fever and have this song? So stay with us, Martin, and we'll be back with you in a few seconds.
Fantastic, thank you.
flying high. You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn.
Channelradio.co.uk.
Oh, I sure am feeling good. Just listening to Michael Bublé, for me, I feel good every time I hear that opening part of that track. And of course, you're listening to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. Me, Angela Bryce-Stevenson. And of course, on Twitter this afternoon, busy typing away throughout that little music break, is Jan Mulligan.
Hello, my fingers are burning.
Just I know. Type. Although I'm going to get you for that photo. But of course, more importantly, on the phone, we still have our wonderful guest, Martin Fever. Hi, Martin. Did you enjoy that?
Well, I loved it. I just think it's just such an instrument. It's the sort of song, you know, when it's on, you want to move your body.
Oh, I did.
You know, it's just, I was sitting here thinking, yep. I'm sort of, my studios, well, my consulting rooms are quite sort of secluded and private, but I was thinking, I'm glad no one can see me.
Oh, what you need, Martin, is a Jan Mulligan who's lurking in the corner with a camera and takes photos.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Have you looked over your left shoulder? You think she's in the studio? Ha ha. Martin, your business, the Mind Body Connection, I know that you do, as well as the coaching work, you organise these wonderful, as we've been speaking about, these vision boards. You did a workshop for people. You also work one-on-one with individuals. And interestingly, you and I had a chat recently about this concept of encouraging people to create more space in their lives, and that's from within their bodies, and we're going to talk perhaps a little bit about your retreat and yoga, and also within their lives in general, and space, whether it be in the home. We've talked about feng shui, for example, just there. So it's something that's quite dear to your heart as well, isn't it, at the moment?
Well, I think it is, because I think a lack of space in our lives means we're imploding, we're collapsing in on ourselves. And when you have an expansion of space, that's an explosion. And so often when I work with clients, it is this idea that they're overwhelmed and they're collapsing inwards, if you like. And it's about moving into this dimension of taking control and pushing your life out from you, rather than, if you like, reacting to the life that you're experiencing that's actually overwhelming you. And that's where the concept of space comes in. And I just am very aware that we, for most of us, space is about time, to be honest, in our lives. It's about the gaps, if you like, or the stopping that we tend not to do. We tend to be, ever doing things.
Yes.
You know, we overcommit. I was working with a client that had an addiction to commitment, because he felt that if he wasn't doing something, somehow he was missing out.
Yes.
And of course, the issue with that is that if you're always doing things, are you actually, number one, doing things you actually really want to be doing? Or are you doing them out of an obligation to other people? And, you know, what is the good if you keep saying yes if you never say no? What is the good of that, you know? And then this idea of space is in all areas, but I particularly think about it in the mind and the body.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a time when if you were on a train, you might not be reading a book, but you might be reading a book, but you certainly wouldn't be ever present with, for example, headphones on, listening to music or those sorts of things. And of course, that's taken away really those moments of pause and reflection that is so crucial to our mental well-being.
Absolutely.
And to our mental health. And without that space in our lives, we actually are always, if you like, got our foot on the accelerator and then pushing ourselves further and further forwards. Until eventually something gives, and often it's a lack of space in our lives through not pausing that creates an awful lot of this sense of overwhelming depression and anxiety. And I think by talking to clients and actually saying, where is the space for you? Because a lot of people have space, but it's actually not for themselves.
No, that's right. It's
you know,
for,
it might be, yeah. You know, it might be for their children, or it might be for their partner or for their friends, but where's the space for them? And often, without that sense of space, we can become very codependent on the people around us to give us any sort of recognition, because we're not giving that recognition to ourselves. It sounds very complicated, but to give you one example, I know some people that work, and, you know, we've all worked for ourselves, that, you know, when you work for yourself, it's very easy to become codependent on your business.
Absolutely.
Without noticing that you're doing this, and suddenly all you're doing is living for your business, and then it's because you're then living for the approval of your clients, and then you're, does that make sense?
Yes, it is. And that's something that with both my business and also Jan's business, that we're looking at individuals and saying, yes, you're, especially sole traders, it's the real, I've talked about this before on the show. We often forget that sometimes setting up our business is a great, it's excitement. We get so easily caught up in this 24/7 attitude. And also we forget that we're the postman, we're the reception, we're the security, we're the sales force, we're the marketing force. Oh, and by the way, we're also whatever our specialism of the business is. And forget that we do need that space, that pause, that time out. And I've banged on it for many, many years, and I call it the me time of where is in this wonderful clock of 24 hours, where is there even just 60 seconds of okay, John, Angela, Jane, Trish, where's that me space?
Yeah. And I think it was, I was recently talking to someone and they said, does your business fit into your life or do you fit your life into your business? And you know, as business people, because, you know, whilst we may be coaches or whatever we do for a living, or we may run a blacksmith or we might run the corner shop or where, you know.
Or all of the above in these, this day and age. Some people do more than one, don't they?
And I think that's a very important part is about, you know, when you're working on your business, when you're working in your business, but actually when is your business closed? When is it actually shut down and you actually, you know, so and it's even shutting down in terms of conversation, you know, if you're sitting with your partner having dinner or with friends, are you simply talking about your business still? Are you still, you know, at work?
Yeah, and I think always on.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I've been very conscious of is, you know, this year, one of the big things for my own business has actually been to create space in my mind by giving my, some of the jobs that I find less exciting, less interesting for me, that other people do enjoy doing, actually giving those away to these people and going, you know what, I actually don't like doing the particular aspect of my business. So, you know, if you do this, I will create more space. They'll do a better job, and them doing a better job, they'll actually increase my income because, you know, I might be paying them X amount and they're paying me X plus another bit because I've got three more clients, whatever it comes down to. And that's been a really important lesson to let go.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so suddenly when you were saying there, it made me think when you said about being the receptionist and the marketing. I actually have decided that those are the sorts of things that my expertise is actually in delivering my message and helping my clients realize their own potential.
Yeah.
Anything else other than that, actually, there's probably someone who's more gifted and talented at doing it. Like my perfect example is my website. For years, I'd struggle through going on computer courses and learning a bit. But this one day, I thought, you know what? There are people out there that know how to do this. So creating some space in my life this year has come down to giving stuff away to people, to the right people.
Absolutely.
And actually going, okay, I now have time to focus on the things, number one, that I enjoy doing fabulously well, if you mean, you know, that's but actually, you know, because when I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing, the people around me benefit as well. My clients benefit.
Of course
they
do.
I'm totally focused. And it also means that I can have time off. It means I can actually shut the office door metaphorically and go, that's it, end of. And so that's where I think, and I think it's also, I do believe that the way we start each day sets us up for the rest of the day.
Oh, I agree. I'm 100% behind you. But interestingly, something you were saying there was, you must have been earwigging because Jan and I were having a chat on the way down in the car about our businesses and obviously Jan's Greenleaf Ergonomics and looking at expanding some of her forte. One of the things that we were talking about is that you do get to that element of, oh, yes, I haven't got the money to spend, so I'm going to have to do it myself. But then also, if that takes me away from actually being out there to network and to actually do the work, it's a real catch 22.
Yeah.
But one of the things that a lot of people forget sometimes is that there's, I always say to people, consider all the options. It's not always, oh, I've got to go and employ someone. I've got to go down the PAYE route. I've got to get an employee and all of the wonderful detail that can bring. There's other options around, is it that we do the bartering with others? Is it that you work with, maybe there's an apprentice, someone that would actually be willing to come in and learn from you, as long as you didn't call it slave labour and you did give them some sort of return. But yes, you're right. It's that encouraging people to realize that you know, it's something at when I was working with Lynn Franks and the Seed Manifesto talks about recognize your gifts and delegate the rest.
Yeah, and that's what I'm on about, you know, because when that's the reason why I became a coach, really. I didn't become a coach because I wanted to do my accounts.
No.
that's the reality.
Yeah.
I don't think it just applies to business. I think there's a lot of opportunities, for example, for mums that are at home, for people that are actually working.
And dads.
Well, mums that exactly, to sort of consider things such as, you know, do they need to be the person cutting the lawn every week? Can they not actually get a lawn service. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to be done all the time by someone. But, are you cleaning your own windows? Some guy comes and cleans windows for a tenner. He does the whole house. I don't have to do that anymore. So that means that, those are the sorts of spaces that I'm talking about, because it's not just the physical space, it's the mental space. So that job is now off the list. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's rare, very rare that I would clean my own car. And it's not because I'm suddenly this, great, I'm just this person that doesn't, a great conceited person, I wouldn't dream of cleaning my car. It's simply because, whilst the time the car's being cleaned, I would have gone into the local farm shop, which is where I have my car cleaned, gone into the local farm shop, done my shopping, come out, the car's ready. Yeah. I've given the guy the money. I've actually got my shopping done, so I've done two things. The man who charges me a tenner, or 12 quid or whatever it is for the car, when I come away from it, I'm going, this guy's got all the equipment here. I haven't had to drag the hose pipe out. No. I haven't had to, and it's just suddenly done. And I think those are the sorts of bits that I'm actually talking about in our lives. Simple things, that make a difference.
Although, interestingly, I think it's good to consider with my clients, some of the things that I've spoken about is that also, as people will know, and I've said it on air, is that sometimes looking at your Hoover or any reputable brand of vacuum cleaner, is that you can look at it in a different way. So, for example, if you do look at, there's just no way I can pay, I can't afford £10, whatever the circumstances are, then you look at the other aspects of their life. And if one of them, my passion around health and well-being and activity, is saying, okay, washing the car is my activity. So it's not trying to cram in going to the gym. If I can actually mow the lawn, do some gardening, and wash the car, there's my activity. So you're so right, it's looking at things differently, and we do need that, even if it's just 60 seconds of space, of just that pause, that I love that word, that pause, that moment.
I think another thing here is in coaching, we call this reframing, don't we? You reframe the activity so that it becomes something. And I think that's an important part as well, is that by reframing something, a lot of times what happens with clients that I've discovered is, and for myself as well, is that, but I don't change the activity I do. It's simply the motivation and the desire and the, energy that I give to it. That's what changes by, I spoke to you earlier that I was going to do a radio show this year, and I actually sat back and I thought about it and know that by doing a radio show, having done radio in the past, that I know that's going to eat into a lot of my space. And I thought, is that how I want to use my time and my energy? And there's lots of conflicts, as you can imagine.
Absolutely.
Pausing to think about it rather than committing to something. And this is why I love the expression, what good is the power of yes if you never say no? Having that ability to sort of, when someone says to you, I'd love you to join me for that walk, and you go, actually, if I look at my diary that week, it's going to be really stressful, and even though I'd love to go on for a walk, let me actually come up with, and what I do now is say, let me get back to you on that. Let me,
create
come back
that pause.
To you on that. And that pause is so important. And that also relates to our bodies, funnily enough, because, not just in our lives and our minds, but in our bodies as well, because if we are collapsing and we are imploding in on ourselves, there is a sense of the body being heavy as well.
Yes,
and
indeed.
So, the ability to make our bodies feel, that they've got space within them, because so many people, I look at them, I work, physically with people as well as with coaching.
Yes, yeah.
And the difference it makes to them is quite amazing when you start to talk about, simply doing a little bit of stretching or moving your arms in a bigger circle than you normally would. Simple things like that, or stepping up the pace when you go, that sense of space, or breathing a bit more in the lungs, or taking a few deeper breaths than you normally would. That's all about creating space in the body. I absolutely love it. I love it when people discover space.
Mm.
for themselves
and
in
also
their lives.
It's the thing that I love about it when I'm working with individuals, as you and I both know, and Jan knows because I bang on about it in the car every Monday, and she sometimes goes to sleep, but it is that the creating space and the simplistic aspect of how you can create it. So this just being able to, I call it mindful movement, as you know, as a mindfulness practitioner, something that I encourage my clients to look at doing. So it's just simple basic moves, looking at getting that breath in the body in areas that may not have opened up so much recently and that need to, and it can just have a great impact on, as you said earlier, about how we start our day, how things unfold during the day. And Martin, I'm conscious of your time. I know that we can't have you for our whole hour of the show because you are a busy man, but one thing I wanted to make sure we just quickly chat about before you disappear, if we may. I noticed, because it's something passionate in my heart and I've been on one recently, you're running a retreat, are you not, for men?
Yes, this year we've booked a lovely Victorian lodge just in Settle in North Yorkshire.
Oh, beautiful.
And we've got spaces for 12 men. Indeed,
right.
Actually, we don't have spaces for 12 men because some spaces have been booked.
Okay.
it's a coaching and yoga retreat for men, which really is about, I've called it a breath of fresh air.
Ah.
It's exactly what it's about. It's sometimes I've been on retreats, and retreats have been very heavy going.
Mm.
And what we've set out to do this, I'm doing it with a great team. We've got a fantastic cook, and we've got a fantastic yoga instructor.
Fab.
And what we're going to be doing is enabling people to take time out of their lives, refocus, and also to have, if you like, a lot of social interaction with other people. So that it becomes, in the mornings will be the yoga and if you like, some of the activities, coaching activities. And in the afternoons will be very much like a walk in the Yorkshire Dale.
Wow.
Or a trip on the Settle and Carlisle Railway. And then in the evenings, we're going to do a little bit more yoga, have some dinner, and then sit around and, I don't know, play board games or just chat or anything like this. And it's a whole week dedicated to letting people pause, letting people reflect, and then deciding how they want to go forward. And so that when they come back from the retreat, what I love to do is for that first month is to stay in touch with people and go, well, how are you coping being back?
Yeah.
And you know, what's going on in your lives? And also,
brilliant.
I mean, it doesn't matter if people haven't done yoga or they don't know what coaching means or anything like that. It's actually coming along and being with people that are prepared to simply take some time out and see where that takes them.
And I love the fact that it's also, you've really promoted it, that it's the a breath of fresh air, but it is a retreat for men, isn't it? And I often find people link retreats or they think of time away and think, oh, it's all for the women, it's all for the mums. And actually, it's great to actually have a big shout out that men need it too, don't they?
Very much so. I mean, one of the great things that I work, as you know, with men, although not only with men, funny enough, I seem to have a lot of female clients coming my way at the moment, which is fabulous as well. But one of the reasons that I wanted it to be for men is because that's very important, that when you're on a retreat, you can relate to the people that are on the retreat with you.
That's right.
And from that point, there's a lot more sharing that goes on.
Mm.
And you bring a different approach than if, you know, for example, you were to go onto a retreat for, which was, you know, men and women or husbands and wives or whatever. It just changes what's going on as well.
Definitely.
But I think it also means that there's a certain understanding, if you like, when you go away that you actually, because men in themselves, you know, this notion of man being breadwinner, man being strong, man being all of these types of things, you know, man not crying.
Yeah, that's society pressure, yeah.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, this is the place. And I do believe that nature in itself heals, because I've been in such a space. And I have to say, and I'm really plugging the location, the venue, is I've been up there to see it. It's a Victorian gentleman's lodge.
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
Absolutely got the most stunning views. And what the architect, it's an architect that owns it, has managed to do is to renovate the house, keep the character, but bring all mod cons in. So you've got, you know,
it's still
a 1930s bathroom, but it works as a 20s, but not 2014 bathroom. So you've got all of that, and as I said, there's going to be walks,
Brilliant.
We're doing some mindfulness walks as well.
Yay!
The yoga.
Great.
The yoga guy, Craig Norris, is just so into mindfulness as well. And the food is being geared up. And we have an aromatherapist who's preparing welcome packs for everyone.
Lovely. So if I speak with a deep voice and I wear trousers, do you think I could sneak in with Jan? We'll share a room. No, we won't tell anyone.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work.
That's a good try, though, wasn't it? Martin, it's been fantastic to hear, albeit briefly, some of the activities you've been up to and future ones coming up. It's fantastic to talk to you, as always, and I'm sure this won't be the last that we will hear of you.
Oh, I hope so. And actually, as I say, I'm very keen to get the message out there that, you know, you can live a fulfilling life with some very, very few minor changes. Yeah. Life becomes an amazing journey.
Indeed. Excellent. Oh, well, thank you for your time. And we must let you go so you can get ready for your clients without us keeping you too much. And we will, of course, I've got the details here. I will put the links up on our Facebook page for your retreat and encourage anyone that's listening in or knows of any men out there who really need to be, well, you know, just that bit of, it's not pampering, it's actually a good refreshing nourishment, as you say, to actually reconnect with, yeah, actually, do you know what, I'm doing okay, and actually I've got some more ideas coming, so the creative juices could flow as well. And we'll also keep plugging you on Twitter, so people that don't know it already, you can follow Martin on Twitter, and it is purely at Martin Fever. Very easy to follow.
There you go.
Take care, Martin, all the best, and
can
we'll
just,
speak
can
to
I
you
just
yeah
say- Let's just say one thing.
Yeah.
Ladies, I think the work you're doing is amazing. I love your show, and I think it's fantastic. And thank you so much for inviting me on this afternoon.
More than welcome.
And lots and lots of love to you both, because I think you're spreading a very important message.
Thank you, Martin.
We love you too. I'm giving the microphone a big hug.
Take care, ladies.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was Martin Fever from the Mind Body Connection. And again, we'll post all the information about how you can get hold of him, about the retreat. And I think it's time for a bit of music for us to just let that all sink in. And what better than his final choice, which was by Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World.
Excellent choice.
That's what I thought.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Channelradio.co.uk.
Just so relaxing, that song.
Oh, Who Cares Wins! Yes, you are tuned into Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk on this marvellous Monday afternoon. And that was our great guest, Martin Fever. If you missed any of his marvellous insights, then do listen again, either through the Channel Radio website, or of course we are repeated at Thursdays, 12 o'clock. I just want to pick something back up from that, because a lot of it resonates with me, as you know, Jan, because I do, well, he's probably the male version, maybe the better version. I don't know.
It
could be. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, we do very, very similar things. And of course, when I hear mindfulness being worked in there to that retreat, it's like, I'm gonna sneak in. No, don't panic. If you are booking, gentlemen, please don't panic. I'm not going to be there. But one thing from the Michael Bublé song, I wrote it down because it's actually very, very pertinent to this show and what we're all about, health and well-being, that he says right at the beginning, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. And actually, that sums up what we're achieving through the show with all the guests that we have on, all of our guests and who they work with and their clients. It's all about them looking at their life and perhaps making tiny, tiny, simplistic little changes.
It can be so easy to make such a big difference.
I mean, look at your role with Greenleaf Ergonomics. Yeah. You're going into organisations and it's encouraging those organisations to see just a tiny little change.
And time again, people say, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
I think, well, I'm glad they didn't, otherwise I wouldn't have any work. But on the other hand, it comes from the experience, the training, the academic side of things, but also working with people and getting to know people. And that's what
getting
to know. Oh, she's singing again. I lay them up, don't I?
You do line
them out the park. Yeah. But it makes a difference, and I think it's what you do as well when I hear you talking about your clients, is it's very much, yes, we provide a service, but you can't just walk in and provide that service. You have to understand where the individual's coming from, where they're trying to get to.
Well, they're a human, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They're not a robot.
We're all different, and it's helping each other along that journey.
Mm. And journey, I like that plug. Okay. Thank you.
You see?
Another journey begins. Fabulous.
I can do it as well.
I'll hug you later, Jan.
No.
One thing we have been tweeting, just as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, Jan's been busy on the twit there.
She's not being a twit.
But do get in touch with us around your definition of health and well-being. And we'd like to know what you would define it as. What do you see it as? I know people talk about how do you define success. Well, we want to look at it from the perspective of how do you define health or health and well-being, or maybe you give it another title.
Well, I'm about to do another tweet with photo attached.
Uh-oh.
Because this is...
Is it me?
It's me this time.
Phew.
One of my definitions of happy.
Happy.
Well, I was when the photo was taken. I wasn't 90 minutes later, but...
Has it got football in the theme?
It might have.
Oh.
So that's winging its way out at the moment.
Hey, well, I'll have to see it. I bet it's a good photo, unlike the ones you get of me, Jan. Anyway, moving on, before we disappear for another week, we have a few events just to highlight to you, those that are listening in. Do again, if you have any event that you are running, that you are attending, that you have been to and think it's just fabulous that you want to shout about it from the rooftops, and it's all related to health and well-being, then get in touch, either whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk or on Twitter @careswins. Obviously, you only have 140 characters on that.
It's tough.
Or Facebook. It is tough. Or Facebook. We have a Who Cares Wins radio show page on Facebook. And we have a LinkedIn group as well. We are everywhere.
We are.
And if you can't find all of those, and you're like, oh, which one was which? We do have on Channel Radio, we have our own show page there. So do check it out. All of the information is on there. One thing I wanted to highlight is a couple of events. I've talked about Clear Mind Institute, which is who I am training my mindfulness teacher training with. And they are running, interestingly, I'm running. I just get my papers here. I sound all official now, don't I? The 12th of July, and they are running a Branding You and Social Media Workshop. It's up at Still Point Yoga in London, by London Bridge, by The Shard. And it's bringing yoga ethics and heart into marketing.
Ooh.
Yes. So if you are a yoga professional, if you are in that line of work, this day will include a variety of inspiring and fun ideas, practices and workshops to shake up your approach to branding and marketing yourself. And it's with a lovely lady, Jenny Flynn, who is a yoga teacher as well as a digital and brand designer. So that sounds interesting. I'll see if my diary is free for that, because it's fairly, I haven't got the price.
I'll be dressed in my finest wedding that day.
Yes, but I think it's great for, again, often we find it hard to actually promote ourselves when we are the business. It can sometimes be quite difficult. And the other thing, just to shout about again, I can't go on about it enough. I'm trying to see if I can squeeze it in my hectic schedule, is the Feldenkrais method. And hopefully we're going to have Sabine on the show in the future to talk about it in more depth. But she is running an event with Julie Raitt, who I was on the retreat with a couple of weekends ago. And there is one running, Seekers Trust. That's in Westmorling, and we'll put all the details on Facebook. It's only £30 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it is literally the explanation of what Feldenkrais is. The way we move and hold our heads greatly influences how we move the rest of ourselves. So come along to hear what it is, how it works. It's sort of an introduction to it. And if you want to get in touch and book on that, the best thing to do is probably ring Julie on 07903 839 292. Jan, you've got the back pain show.
The back pain show this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 4th, 5 and 6th of July at Olympia in London.
Oh, that's easy to get to.
I would think, he hasn't said yet, but I would think good old Mike Dilk on back at fame.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be there.
Saddles that I used to sit on.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a really good show. It's aimed at, yes, industry, but predominantly it's aimed at individuals. So if you or anybody you know experiences any form of back pain, this is a really good show to go to. It's free entry. It's always good.
It's free
to get in. Website www.backpainshow.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Did you like your photo?
Oh, yes. There she is in her glory. Oh, I like your T-shirt, Jan.
That's my Mexican shirt.
Well, hey. Did you have some tequilas?
No.
You were well behaved, were you?
I was very. I'm teetotal.
I like to hear that too.
Boring.
Well, you know, health and well-being and all of that. Although, as I say, what is it? Moderation, isn't it?
Everything in moderation. Yes.
No, yes, absolutely. And isn't there...
There's a famous history day today now.
Where did
we both saw this.
I saw this.
Yes.
And then I said to you that I checked it out on a very... But did you know, listener, that today in 1908, I wasn't around then, I might have been thought about, but I wasn't around then, SOS, not the band, but the actual language, the international signal of distress, it actually became effective on the 1st of July in 1908. So that's tomorrow, but we might as well mention it today.
Excellent.
I can't do the duh-duh-duh and the da-da-das.
Morse code, even.
That sounds more like a police song.
It's a police song.
Should have got that, shouldn't I? Oh, dear. It's okay, listener. You haven't got long left to actually sit down to some normality with some of the other great shows that are on after us. Of course, I always tune in to the Big Band show later on. I love that. Jan, isn't there an awareness something on this week? I thought I saw.
An awareness.
Awareness. Oh, the twins, yeah.
Triplets and more. I think if you have more than triplets, I think your life is full.
Well, yes.
June 30th through to July the 6th, the week aims to raise awareness of multiple births throughout the UK. It's run by the Twins and Multiple Births Association, otherwise called TAMBA, T-A-M-B-A.
Yeah.
For more info, visit www.tamba.org.uk.
Fabulous. We are at the end of our show. And so it brings us to the close of another week of Who Cares Wins. Don't forget, we are repeated at Thursday, 12 noon. And, of course, the Listen Again is available any minute now on channelradio.co.uk. And you can tune in and listen at your leisure while you chop your tomatoes and make your dinner. Enjoy your week, everyone. Jan, anything you want us to know for the week? Should we think about a certain posture that we should look at?
I think it's more the health side of the heat. So keep hydrated.
Hydrated
keeps your muscles lubricated, keeps your brain lubricated.
Oh, I need to find my brain first.
But don't drink too much.
Well, no, because you can actually, you need to think about if you've got vegetables and fruits and everything else. It's not just pure water.
No.
Just make sure that you have that fluid in
some
form and not always the alcoholic.
No.
Enjoy creating some space in your week, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye for now.
But sometimes I don't know why.